Pues sin ni grudges, de lo que es no se sliva, no se es no se. En no le ponte de fin de espíritu son. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins, and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, thy guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, here we are again, once more in the presence of our Lord, about to begin our meditation on this third Sunday of the year. Now, one of the first few things that I remember when we were being taught about the liturgy was that on Sundays, when we have three readings, that you generally find that it is the first reading from the Old Testament which is related to the Gospel of the day. Well, in today's readings, we not only find that they're related, but they are, in fact, identical. Because the Gospel of St. Luke quotes quite a big section of the prophet Isaiah, which I'm now about to quote. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, way of the sea on the far side of the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people that lived in darkness has seen a great light. On those who dwell in the land and shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then it goes on, it adds in the Gospel, from that moment Jesus began his preaching with the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Well, we can see here now what an accurate prophecy we have in Isaiah. He even tells us that our Lord will be in Capernaum, near the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus spoke to the first apostles who were fishermen. But the interesting point, to my mind anyway, is that this prophecy tells us that the people sitting in the dark have seen a great light. And what is that light? It is Jesus Christ. For did he not say, Ego sum lux mundi, I am the light of the world. It is true that when we look at the world, created by God, with all the beautiful flowers and all the wonderful animals, all of this is very beautiful. And yet, despite this beauty, many will say that life is often sad, and that we live in the darkest misery and gloom. And then you might ask, but why is this? Well, the short answer, of course, is sin. It is all because Adam and Eve disobeyed Almighty God and committed that first and original sin. And then, because of its consequences, all the people in the world have added scores and scores of sins on top of that original sin, covering the beauty of creation with all the dust and dirt and filth of our offences against Almighty God and against His perfection. So dark is the gloom. The human race is now left blind and also crippled, unable either to see the way out of the fog, and then so crippled and lame they can hardly move if they could see. Now this tells us that the light of Christ, or should I say, the light that is Christ, has two principal functions. One is to enable us to see the way back to God, the right path. And the other is to shine in the innermost part of our soul, so as to discover and then identify our sinful pride and impurity, so that then we can beg God's forgiveness and His mercy, enabling us to stand upright and then be able to walk and follow Him. Now this point, my brothers and sisters, I would like to repeat some words of the prayer prompted by that vision that St. Teresa of Avila saw and describes in The Way of Perfection. She says, O Lord, I pray that Your light will be so abundant in me that it will disperse like fog before the sun all those excuses by means of which my self-love tries to cover my failings and faults. For if it, is it not true, my brothers and sisters, then when we come to the moment of trying to make an examination of conscience, we all seem to find some excuse for our bad behaviour, and we're afraid to face the awful conclusion that we have caused our blessed Lord to suffer so much in his passion and death. Innocent though he is, with what we have done, with our willful determination to have our own way and to commit so many sins. Now this should, of course, make it clear that in our meditation, here and now, while we're in the presence of God, we should pause a while and reflect and consider all our sins and beg our Lord, perhaps without pronouncing any words aloud, to beg him for his forgiveness. And then at the same time, resolving in some way to make amends for our sins. The Holy Gospel of St. Matthew goes on to tell us that Jesus said to his apostles, Peter and Andrew, James and John, he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But then we will ask, but how does that come about? How can we become into fishers of men? Well, the answer to this is a bit more complicated. It involves recalling when I was in Rome. For then, at least for the first few months, it seemed to me that life was pretty sad, gloom and doom, because through not being able to understand the languages very well, I failed all of my oral exams, at least five of them. And then the only happy time occurred when the bell would ring, giving us the signal that our beloved father was in the sitting room. And then my heart would jump for joy. And for the time of the get-together, the sun came out. And I was happy in life once more. Now this happened to such an extent that I got to thinking that if an ordinary man like Saint Jose Maria, who of course was really quite talented and extraordinary, if he could bring so much joy like that, what would it have been like to meet up with Jesus Christ, our Lord? So then I began to see that to become a fisher of men, the thing I had to do was to copy our father, Saint Jose Maria. To copy him in the way that he had copied and imitated Jesus Christ. Because for sure, it was this aura of sanctity which he carried around with him which spread the light and the warmth that attracted people and made him such an effective apostle. So as I quoted the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, verse 12 earlier on, I am the light of the world. I can continue in verse 12, where it says, he who follows me can never walk in darkness. He will possess the light, which is life. So then we see very clearly the answer to our Lord's call, follow me, that we will no longer walk in darkness, in our life darkened by sin, but possess the bright light which brings the warmth of the light and life of Jesus Christ to all our friends. Now, when we look around us, my brothers and sisters, in today's world, seeing so many souls being lost in total darkness, this reminds me of St. Teresa of Avila's other prayer in the book, this time of her life, in chapter 32, after she had seen the vision of hell. Towards the end of her description of hell, she says, I do not know how we can look on so calmly to see the devil carrying off as many souls as he does daily. Thou knowest, my God, how grieved I am to see how very many are lost. Save at least one, Lord, at least one who can give light to many others. And this not for my sake, Lord, for I do not merit it, but for the merits of thy Son. Look upon his wounds, Lord, and as he forgave them who inflicted them upon him, so do thou pardon us. Well, what do we see here? St. Teresa is praying very humbly, very sweetly, for one soul who can give light to others. But should we stop there, my brothers and sisters? Surely our Father, if we asked him, he would say, but we're interested in many souls. Out of 100 souls, we're interested in 100. Did not he establish the work so that we would win many souls in our place of work and through our families and through our friends? And was he not continually pushing us in the apostolate? He wanted us to find more than one soul who could influence many others. Well, I found another prayer from another great saint, full of apostolic zeal, who was a favourite saint of our beloved father, Saint Catherine of Siena. And she lamented also the loss of many souls because of their sins. I've just got to look in my book of quotations to see what she says. She starts out by saying, O Lord, turn your merciful eyes upon your people and upon your mystical body, the Holy Church, since you will receive more glory from pardoning many souls than you will by pardoning only me, a wretched creature who has offended you so often. I beseech you, therefore, divine eternal charity, to avenge yourself on me and be merciful to your people. I shall never depart from your presence until I see that you have shown mercy to them. Just a minute, I'll have a little drink. Until you have and see that you show mercy to them. How could I be happy if I had eternal life and your people were condemned to death? Therefore I wish, and as a favour I implore you, to show mercy to your people by that same charity which moved you to create man to your image and likeness, so that he might have a share in you and in your life. O Lord, I offer you my life now and forever, whenever as you please you to take it, and I offer it for your glory, humbly beseeching you, by the merits of your passion, to cleanse and purify your spouse, the Church, from every defect. Delay no longer. I turn my gaze in another direction, and I see the lost souls of countless sinners. My heart is broken at the sight of them, or rather it is dilated by the force of bitter regret. I am overcome with compassion, and I cannot help weeping for their misery, as if I found myself, like them, soiled with the mire of their guilt. Lord, during your mortal life, you bore the weight of two crosses. By carrying in your body the heavy burden of our sins, in order that I may be conformed to you, you have burdened me with the weight of two crosses. One crushes my body with infirmities and other distresses, and the other transfixes my soul, which grieves for the perdition and blindness of so many poor, obstinate sinners. Well, that ends the quotation from St. Catherine of Siena. But we realize that when our Lord appeared by the Sea of Galilee, full of light, he not only dissipated the darkness of the light of sinners, but he called on those apostles to leave everything behind, to leave everything that take them away from God. And be apostles. Be fishers of men. But we will have to ask Our Lady that this light of Jesus will so penetrate our souls that we too will be filled with the light of Christ. He will remember as the way, the truth, and life. So that then we will be transformed by that light of Christ into Jesus Christ himself, and be the way, the truth, and the life of many souls. Our Lady, of course, did this with the brightness of her life. We turn to you, O Blessed Mother, to teach us to be apostles of apostles, and to be so filled with the light of Christ that we will draw many souls away from sin and close to Jesus Christ, and so be worthy of eternal blessedness. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.